Hello and welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens. I'm doing it solo today as far as hosting, but I've got a great guest in today. Taylor Richard from the Utah Grizzlies. Are you the captain this year?
Yes, I am.
You've kind of been the captain. Like, since you've been here, you've just been the guy. At least that's what I've noticed.
Yeah, I'd say my second year I was an assistant captain. Last year I was an assistant captain. And then now with Zani being more of a coaching role, I have the honor to wear the C.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is an honor, but it's also, I mean, it's, you just fill that role. And I noticed that this is your fourth season here?
Yep.
And so I think that your first season here, I was with you guys quite a bit. And you just seemed like you came in and you had that quiet leadership quality that people look for. And you and I were talking a little bit before, like, I want people to know who you are, where you come from, and you're actually from one of my favorite places. You're from Blaine, right?
Yep, Blaine, Minnesota.
I love Blaine, Minnesota. Like, yep. I you know, Minnesota itself, everything about it is one of, like, I love Minnesota, and people that know me know that, and I'm proud of the year that I spent in Faribault, but okay. It's Blaine is just, I've always just been so, like, the rinks that are there, the Swan.
Oh, yeah, Swan Super Rink. Yeah, they have 8 rinks there now, a huge workout facility with 5 shooting lanes. They have a goalie little station there, mega goaltendings there. There's, I think, close to 40 soccer fields around the rink where they have the USA Cup every summer, so the golf tournament there now is this year. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, it's like it's a destination.
Right. It's a hockey / soccer golf hotbed, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because we've been there, like my son and I have been there for hockey tournaments, and then we tried so hard to convince our Utah team that he was playing for to go there for soccer too. But man, it's just like, if you're a hockey fan or the tournaments they have there, you could just get lost there for days.
Oh, yeah.
Walk in, and like you said, 8 rinks, and then it's surrounded by soccer fields, and they live and breathe hockey there.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you started playing?
When I actually started playing, like, organized hockey, I was 5, mites. But I started skating when I was 3, I believe. There's a park about a mile from my house. They flood 3 hockey rinks and then a big just open skating rink for figure skating or younger kids just kind of move around. And my dad would take me down there quite a bit, and my mom would join too, and they would just put the skates on me and kind of let me go. We did that for a couple years, and then that's when I kind of was like, all right, my dad was like, it's time for you to start organized hockey, and I started when I was 5. And then he coached me all the way until Bantams, and then we had a different guy come in, coached us at Bantams. But when I started Bantams, my dad actually started coaching high school. He's an assistant coach.
Oh, wow.
So he pretty much coached me all the way growing up. Just those 2 years of Bantams, I didn't get coached by him.
Okay. So, and you went to Blaine High School?
Yep.
And you got to play in those amazing high school championships?
Yeah, the state tournaments. Yeah. In front of 19,000 people. It was pretty fun. It was crazy.
That's so unreal.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, those are the things that Disney movies are made of. And, you know, like, for a Utah kid, like, we were pretty impressed if we had 80 fans in our stands. And then, but that's cool. And I've been to a lot of those. I wonder if some of those years that you were playing, if I was watching, because I was an equipment rep for, like 15 years where I was always going to those things. And I'd set up, because for those that don't know, during the high school hockey championships, there's also a huge
expo.
Yeah, the huge expo. So they take out the whole expo center. Think of like the Salt Palace, but, you know, and every hockey manufacturer around is there and just selling the products, man. And I was there with Innovative Hockey Sticks, and they had a side stick called Trilage, which was a scientific design stick. And we just go there every year and sell that. And then I went back later and was selling sports nutrition products and stuff, and I just try to finagle everybody. Any company I work for, I'll be like, you know what you should do is send me to the high school state championships in Minnesota, and we'll go sell our product there.
Yeah, the expo is just as big as the state tournament. The games, I would say, everyone goes to the expo because that's when you kind of can, the kids love to go just because you can kind of try to finagle your way to get free stuff.
Oh, yeah. And we give away, and we know it going in. As a manufacturer, you know, my whole goal was not to bring anything back with me. Right. So I was handing out everything. Yeah. So, and it was awesome, too. And the kids loved it, and it was, it's just such a, man, that is the heartbeat of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go from Minnesota to Miami of Ohio? There's a step in between. Where did you play juniors?
I played, well, after high school, I was pretty small. My senior year, I was probably 5'6", 150 pounds. So during my senior year, I played with Nick Bukestad, plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins right now. Eric Scheid, he's a very good high school player. Gavin Tufte, all these kind of names. Riley Tufte's older brother. And so I kind of got overlooked, I would per se. So I was actually not going to play hockey after high school.
Oh.
Now, a lot of people don't know that. My parents and a couple close friends. So I was actually putting in for school. I was going to maybe go to River Falls and try to play D3 hockey and baseball there. I applied to Mankato State.
Oh.
I was just going to go there and maybe try to walk on. But then a guy that I trained with in the summer was like, hey, go to this pre-draft camp for Aberdeen Wings in the North American Hockey League. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give it a try. So I went there and had a good tryout and got tendered. So then that means I was kind of their property. So I went to their main camp, made their team there. So I played a year in the NA in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And then the next year I went to Fargo's open camp, made it to their main camp, played in Fargo. And we had a pretty good team. A lot of guys were getting ready to go to college the next year, so I didn't really have any options. So I was like, all right, I'll go back to Fargo for my last year. Juniors, just, it was fun. My uncle lived there, and I actually lived with him. He was my billet parent.
Oh, that's nice.
So I got to spend time with my uncle. And all of a sudden, I was at the main camp for Fargo, and Miami, Ohio coach was there, and they're like, hey, we just lost a defenseman. We need someone to come in. Would you like to come in? And I was kind of back and forth, and I was talking to St. Cloud about going in after the next year, but then I went to the campus, and those of you who have been to Miami, Ohio, once you see the campus, it's kind of over with, you know, that's the spot.
Yeah.
So, so I went there. I actually went there on a visit in the summer, not even when, like, the campus is full, you know, and, like, there's not much around, just a few athletes kind of hanging out, and I just fell in love with it, and ended up there 11 hours away as opposed to St. Cloud, which would have been 45 minutes from home. But,
that's one of the things we talk about on the show all the time is that sometimes you just know. Like, sometimes you'll go somewhere and it just fits.
Right.
And it's different reasons. Everybody's got their own reason that things fit, you know. And,
yeah.
And I've been to Miami of Ohio, and that wouldn't have been the one that clicked with me. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, I'm turning up on the campus or anything, but I totally get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I never had the chance to play to school like that either.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, because I got home and from my visit, and my dad's like, so what'd you think? I was like, well, I liked it. He's like, so what are you going to do? And I just said, I don't know. And he's like, well, maybe take a couple of days, and when you know, you'll know. And a couple of days later, I woke up in the morning, and right away, he was at work. I called him. I go, I know what I want to do.
Nice.
He goes, all right. So then called the coach, and I was like, hey, I want to come.
That's so awesome, man. Yeah. I love to hear stories like that. Like I said, it's just...
Yeah, everything just kind of... I mean, obviously a lot of hard work and kind of sticking with it, knowing the process, or trusting the process, I should say. And, everything just eventually worked out, you know.
So if they lost a defenseman, I mean, did you go in as a freshman and start playing games right away?
Yeah, yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. As a freshman, yeah, I was... Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know what to expect. Like, even before when the coach talked to me at the camp, I was, Miami of Ohio, I've never heard of that school. Being from Minnesota, you always hear about the Gophers, North Dakota, Denver. I'm like, all right, I'll go check it out. And all of a sudden, I was like, holy cow, like, the history of the program and the brotherhood, and it was a pretty special place.
And the winter in Minnesota, but then a winter in Fargo got you ready for the winter in Ohio.
Right, yeah, yeah, seriously.
Because those are brutal. So tell me, because a lot of coaches wouldn't take the chance. They'd want you to stay that, because you missed the year of juniors.
Yeah, I played 2 years, and I still had a third year left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of coaches would say, hey, you know, we want you, but we want you to take those the next 45 games to mature a little bit.
Right, yeah.
So that's pretty cool that they took that the gamble
yeah.
on you.
Yeah.
So tell me about your 4 years there. What are your best memories about that?
I would just say just the being with the guys. Like, my freshman class, we had 12 freshmen.
Wow.
So we had a big class.
Half the team.
Exactly. So we had a big class. We were a very tight-knit group. Every class, we were all pretty close. But just that group, we had a couple guys left early. But for the most part, we had that whole core group all the way through. And that's kind of what made those 4 years with those guys. And, I mean, we still keep in touch. We just had a guy's wedding this past summer, and everyone was there and just talking about the memories and the hockey, the school life, the nightlife, just everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to pinpoint one specific just because all 4 years were.
But it was just an awesome 4 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would go back in a heartbeat.
Very cool.
I would go through the bag skates, the schooling. I'd go through it all over again just to go back.
Well, that says a lot, man. Yeah. And there's something about going through that and then being able to have a core group like that.
Right.
It's one thing because typically a freshman class is five guys.
Yeah.
Or maybe six or seven, right?
Yeah.
But to be half the team.
Yeah, we had a big group.
Yeah.
And most of us played right away, too. My first year we were in the CCHA, and we actually won the league that year.
Really?
The last year of the CCHA, we won the league. Yeah, and then we switched over to the NCHC for my last three.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You play in the Select 16 tournaments, those tournaments?
Like I said, I was always a smaller guy, so I was a late bloomer, I would say.
Okay.
So I would make, like, the first, like, your district.
Yeah.
I would be in that, but I would never, I think my, the Select 18s, I made it to the second round. That was the only time.
So how big are you now? How tall are you?
5'10", 180.
Wow, that's some serious growth from after high school to now.
I grew 2 inches my first year junior when I was still 18.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for those that are out there saying, how do you do that? How do you do that?
I don't know. It's just...
a lot of hoping?
Yeah, stuck with the process. I mean, that's one thing my parents instilled in me is just, you got to work.
Yeah.
Work hard. And obviously my dad played, and you just got to do the little things. Obviously, I'm not the biggest guy, so I got to make up for it with my smarts, my skating, my passing, just doing the little things. Eating pucks, blocking shots, doing the dirty work just to be noticed. But just the biggest thing is just hard work and not to get discouraged with other guys, obviously, being smaller and other guys' college commitments early, and I'm just still playing juniors, kind of grinding out. It's just got to stick with it and enjoy it.
Did that start happening in college, too? Like, obviously, guys are getting drafted. Guys are starting to talk pro.
Yeah, guys had agents and stuff in college or
family advisors.
Family advisors, and I'm like, what's that? What do they do? You know? So, I didn't know I was going to play after until after college. I was just kind of, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had to have foot surgery after my senior year, and I was kind of, what am I going to do now? Like, am I going to go find a job? Am I going to work? And, my family advisor, per se, was Andrew Carroll.
You
know that name.
Yeah.
Played at Duluth. He played pro ECHL, AHL. He played for Idaho.
Yep. That's how I know him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was about 8 years older than us, but he hung out with, like, all of our core group at Blaine, and he'd bike over to Blaine, play street hockey with us, shoot pucks with us. He was always getting us going, like, making us better. The type of guy he was, and he's like, you got to play, like, I'll put in a call for you, and he was kind of calling around teams for me, and then I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot, but he wanted me to go to Idaho, but I talked to their coach, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, we have quite a few guys, so I don't know if you want to come here, so our assistant coach at Miami called Tim, and they kind of talked a little bit, and right away Tim called me, and he's like, yeah, we want you. So I was like, yeah, I'm in, that's how I ended up here, and
well, you're a Tim Branham kind of guy. You're smart. He likes the cerebral players, right? He likes the guys because he has complicated systems.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the type of guy that he goes after. And Then you come in and you out. You're a hard worker. Mm. And you don't seem to take anything for granted. And
right, yeah.
Every practice I've ever been there with you, you seem like you stand out even in practice as, you know, a guy that's working hard.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've always been. I'm a firm believer in your practice, how you play, you know.
Yeah.
So you make practice hard, you're going to play hard, do the right things in practice. It's going to translate to the games. And, usually the first one on, last one off type of guy.
So what do your parents think about all this that's going on? What's your degree in?
My degree is sports leadership and management.
Okay. Yep. And so was your mom always like, hey, yeah, just keep playing hockey? Or was she like, hey, it's time to...
No, they want me to play as... My dad always... They both say play as long as you can.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, they're always like, you can always work after, you know, keep living your dream. And
you said so. Your dad played? Did he play pro,
yeah,
too?
Or? No, he played at the University of Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, Gopher guy, yeah. So, yeah, he kind of... He's the one that kind of paved the way for me and coached me. So
the parents are supporting all this, and here you are. Are you got married, didn't you?
No, I'm not married. No. Nope.
Okay. I saw you just. Is there your dog came to the?
Yeah, my girlfriend is in town. She surprised me with the dog. Yeah, right. Took it on the plane for the first time, and yeah. So.
And do you still live in Blaine?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
As cool. Of right now, yeah.
All
right.
So
my apartment's somewhere around the cities next summer.
All right.
Yeah.
Making big plans.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about, like, what it's been like to be a Grizzly, because you've been here through now two affiliations,
mm-hmm.
and now you've seen some growth, and you've seen a lot. Like, this year's been really weird because, man, like, especially with goaltending.
Yeah.
You know you've got goaltenders, and then all of a sudden the Avalanche have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And so you've seen a lot of change, and as a leader, tell me about... Guide us through what it's like to be a leader in the locker room with all this change.
First, like you said, just the affiliation change. Ever since the kind of switch over, it's been a lot more up and down with Colorado. They've signed some good guys, so guys are going up, guys are coming down. And then, like you said, a lot of change this year. Injuries, obviously, up top. So with the goaltending, it's... the Grubauer and Frank Kuz getting hurt, and then Miska goes up, McDonald goes up, and then we got Smitty and Barone, and they did well. You know, it's their goaltending's been good. They're deep, but as a leader, just kind of, and we have so many forwards up right now too. So you just kind of gotta make sure everyone's there and doesn't get discouraged that like, oh, guys are going up. Getting jealousy, you know, like stuff like that, which we don't have at all in the locker room. Everyone wants to be here. Everyone wants to work hard. I think just setting an example, like you said, just usually one of the harder workers. So I feel like if I'm going to work hard and do that, guys are going to follow suit, you know? I think that's my biggest thing is, just keeping everyone positive too. Like obviously like we had a little stretch there where we were kind of losing.
Yep.
But I mean, it's going to happen throughout a season, but the only way to get out of a slump is to keep working.
Yeah, it's a long season. Exactly. You guys have, the talent's unreal.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know a better way to say it, but man, that I skated with you guys the other day, and it almost hurt my feelings, because, like, you guys are good.
Yeah.
And yeah. This was my 20th consecutive year to go and practice with the Grizzlies.
Right.
And the AHL years were obviously good. And there are times, there's peaks and valleys, but man, this team this year has some serious skill.
Yeah.
And some speed.
Yeah.
And so you know it's going to click.
Yeah.
And you know, like, from a guy that, like, I follow, I know every day, like, I see what the transactions are, I see who's up and who's down, and who's hurt. And so it makes sense for me to say, obviously there's going to be some issues because... Man, you can't even keep a consistent line
right. With
all that stuff going on. And like you said, some guys in the past may have got jealous, but it seemed
this year it's
a lot of guys just see it as opportunity.
Yeah,
now, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, that guy last week scored 5 goals, and now he's in the AHL. Maybe if I work my butt off and score 5 goals, I'll be in the AHL.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of what we've been stressing. Like, yeah, guys are going to go up and down, but you just gotta stick to the system, stick to the process, and work. Like, guys are up right now, so we kind of have different jumble of combinations right now. So we kind of had to switch, like, obviously with, like, Dickinson, Bear, and Wagner, those skill guys.
Yeah.
Now we, those guys are up, so we kind of have the grinding mentality where get in deep, do the dirty work, go to the front of the net, and that's how we're going to win games. You know, it's not going to be 6-5, 7-6 games. It's going to be low scoring just like this past weekend, 2-1, overtimes, just grinding out hard work and sticking to the systems. And I think we have guys that know their role and are figuring out their role. And that's, I think, that maybe that little slump at the start that we had is going to kind of translate to where now guys are grasping what they need to do early,
yeah,
and it'll continue on throughout the season.
So it's like they make the mistakes early, learn right from them,
yeah,
and then see the difference. Because, yeah, those first games were unreal. Dickinson was putting in a few goals a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, that was unreal. But you were also, there were, you know, you're right, there were, like, 6-7
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And now guys are cluing in, they're learning the system. Like I said, Tim has, sometimes they're complicated systems that he has. And that's happened before, where the teams have started off a little bit slow, everybody kind of clues in, mm-hmm, and then they go on tears.
Yeah.
And it's usually right about Christmas.
Yeah.
I remember one year it seemed like he's the team, I think the first year you were here.
My first year, yeah, we were pretty far behind, and he made some trades, and we climbed back in the playoffs. I know my first year we started out like 1-9 or 2-10.
And then won like 30 for, yeah, Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. And a couple years before, that's what I said, and then Tim told me even a couple years before that, they went like 30-4 or something after Christmas.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And that's just what happens.
Yeah.
And that's what we're expecting. I mean, that's what we're hoping for, and that's what everybody's expecting.
Yeah.
It was a great weekend against Orlando.
Yeah.
It's good to see them back in the league.
Yeah.
That's always fun because the Grizzlies have a big history with Orlando, because that's when we won the Turner Cup in the IHL.
Mm-hmm.
It was against Orlando. So,
yeah,
the, you know, us fans that remember those days, those were big times, fun times. And now you've got Florida, mm-hmm, coming in. You got Wednesday.
Yep, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. And these guys they're every year they're good.
Yeah.
Top contenders every year.
It's always tough to be that team, too, to come in over Thanksgiving. Typically, they get a little bit, because, like, this is the time when e-bugs start popping up all over the place, because you start having all the injuries through the systems.
Mm-hmm.
You start having guys that, they might even wait a week to sign it. Like, if you're somewhere else, you wait a week so you can be home for Thanksgiving, right, or whatever, to show up.
Yeah.
So these teams that come in over Thanksgiving, I always feel a little bad for them. But it seems like it's usually the Grizzlies that are somewhere else for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems like the last couple of years you guys have been on the road. But so it's nice to have, I mean, people are off work.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully have the holiday weekend off.
Yeah.
Great Wednesday nights. And, do you know what? So you've seen a little bit. What do we expect out of Florida?
They're always good. They're big, fast, skilled team. Watched a little bit of video this morning. They look good. They can put the puck in the net. Good goaltending. I'd just say all around they're a good team.
Yeah.
So we'll have a big test for our team. Obviously, two big wins last weekend. For us, so hopefully we can keep it going. I think just playing the way we have and just knowing our role and what the system is and sticking to that.
Yeah. Well, and you guys have had some team bonding. You're saying you're up in Oakley. And
yep.
But you're also saying you go up, you do this big team team bonding thing and with Lululemon up in Oakley.
Yep.
And right in the middle of it, Hunter Miska gets pulled back up to Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... I mean, yeah, it's always, but then you're like, you're happy for him.
Absolutely.
You know, just the weekend he had and
still
his head. Yeah,
he's goal of the week,
yeah. So it's good. Yeah, we were hiking and then got back down to the cabin after the hike, and all of a sudden Tim goes, "Hey, Miska, come over here." And everyone kind of knew, so everyone's clapping like, "Hey, congrats," you know. So it's good. It's good to see.
You've got three goalies here now, right?
Yep.
You still have three?
Yep, McDonald, Barone, and Smith.
Nice. And, yeah, that's great. I think you guys have the right stuff, mm-hmm, and I think it's time to – the building blocks are in place. And,
right, yeah.
And I'm excited about the game. So Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night at the Maverick Center. Anything else you want to add, man?
No, no. Thanks for having me on here. Been listening to the podcast lately, and it's good. It's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Getting the hockey growing in Utah.
So. Yeah, it's important, and you know that's our whole goal here is to get it. And it's crazy. I was just going through the numbers. I've got an article that's going to be coming out, and so before the Olympics, I just got these numbers. These are amazing. Before the Olympics, and before we even announced that we were going after the Olympics in 1991, Utah, Idaho, and Colorado had 8,000 registered hockey players. Utah had 2 ice rinks, if you don't include the Salt Palace at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then we announced, hey, we're going after the Olympics. They build it. Now we have like 13 sheets of ice. We've got more coming, and we're at just under 60,000 hockey players.
That's crazy.
That's a huge growth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been some years, but man, we're getting there.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And guys like you coming in, and I know that the Grizzlies, and I know you personally have been out and helped out with youth hockey, and
mm-hmm.
that's huge, man, because to have a guy like you come out of Blaine with the knowledge that you had, and then, the tradition of Miami of Ohio. What was the logo what was the mascot when you were there?
It was a Red Hawk.
Okay.
Yeah, before it was the Red Skin, but
yeah, you were the Red Hawks the whole time.
Yeah, the Red Hawks, yep.
I went up to a kid the other day, so I went to the University of North Dakota obviously there's some issues there with changing.
Yeah.
And I saw a guy at Disneyland a couple weeks ago, and he was wearing a North Dakota Fighting Hawks shirt, and I said, hey, they misspelled Sioux on your shirt, and he looked down and he was like, he didn't even know what I was talking about. I'm like, man, it's gone. That's just gone. And I wonder how many guys even remember the Redskins.
I know, yeah. Yeah, Sioux is a huge tradition. Name change and the whole ordeal with the rink, like stuff like they won't let them play if they change the name.
Yep, and it's crazy. And now you've got a Sioux tribe is actually suing the NCAA saying, why are you discriminating against us, not letting us use our name?
Yeah.
So it's crazy. But I wanted to bring that up because your school went through the same thing.
Yeah.
But I wish Jordan Parisi would have had a lot to add to that, too, because he's usually here. But anyway, well, Taylor, I can't thank you enough for coming in. It was good to kind of get to know you. I know people here love you, and I know they wanted to get to know you, so I appreciate you making the time. I know it's busy this week.
Yeah. No, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, well, good luck. And that is today's Utah Puck Report.